Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports NHL, where today we are talking Western Conference predictions. Thank you all for joining us here at I-80 Sports NHL. Make sure that you check us out on our website, i80sports.com. Make sure you follow us on Twitter down below at i80_sportsNHL. That has seen the most growth I've seen in a while. So it felt like just last week I said it was our goal to hit 350 Twitter followers by the end of last week. You guys imploded that, and we are now sitting at around 380 Twitter followers, which means that my goal of realistically trying to get to 500 by the end of the year, let's keep that going. Make sure you share with all your friends, and also make sure if you like our content on our YouTube page, make sure you drop a like, make sure you drop a comment, join the conversation on Twitter, and you'll be able to check us out every Monday night for all of your NHL and US hockey needs. I'm Brian. He's Tom. Tom, how are you doing today?
Doing all right. You know, it's kind of quiet again. We're in these dog days of November. You know, some rustlings with the, at least the Players Association and league are talking again, trying to maybe hammer something out here. But I mean, that's like in its infancy right now. So basically all we know is that they talk to each other, but that's all we know. So
this is true. We've got a little bit going on. Little by little, we're seeing a little bit more news trickle in. And for the first time in a week, we have a little bit of light news coming at you before we dive into our Western Conference predictions. So make sure that you catch us for those predictions coming up just shortly. But before we dive into that, a couple little news and notes from this past week. The NWHL, also known as the National Women's Hockey League, has announced their plans to hold their entire season, including postseason and championships, over a two-week bubble in Lake Placid, New York, in January. Tom, quick hits, what do you think about this news?
I guess the unfortunate part about this is that it's the league that's very much in its infancy, and this is maybe something that should have been done back in 1998 and could have built up after the women won the gold. It's just unfortunate with the type of league it is and with the arenas they play in, and just, it's a small league. The teams play in small rinks. And it's just the unfortunate part that I just don't think they had any other choice but to do it this way or not play at all. It is very sad. The state of women's hockey, I know that there's kind of a tug of war between them and the league in Canada wanting to merge, but there's problems with what the pay scale is with the Canadian players as opposed to down here. It's kind of a take it or leave it, you know, that they didn't really have much other choice here, you know, just with the traveling, the small rinks and it not being a major league, at least not yet. I hate to keep repeating myself, but they kind of just had no other choice doing it this way. So, I mean, for the fans out there of the NWHL, a few friends of mine are big fans of the Riveters and would go to games when they were in Newark, and now they play down at Pro Skate in South Brunswick, where I played a little hockey myself. I played 1 year with the Pro Skate Stars. We'll save the story about that 1 year for another day. I'm already not in the greatest moods. I don't want to get myself any angrier. But, unfortunately, this is just sort of like, this is the only way they could get it in is by doing it this way.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it had to happen this way, though it does seem like they are taking the safer approach for this season, and it seems like it's going to be a very action-packed filled 2 weeks, because to be able to fulfill that entire season as well as playoffs and championship, they're going to be playing games every single day. So it is going to be a marathon for those very talented women. And if you haven't gotten the chance to check out the NWHL, you really should. You don't know what you're missing out on if you haven't checked it out yet. Like Tom had mentioned before, the Riveters used to play in Newark in the Prudential Center, and I caught a few games here and there as well. Very, very highly competitive league, and it's unfortunate that they have to fit in this bubble right now, but under the current circumstances, you kind of have to shrug your shoulders and, you know, take what you got and fly with it, as some people have unfortunately said, and they're going to make the best of it, and hopefully they can get some publicity out of that. And also, no matter what, one thing that we will not doubt is they're going to play some high level hockey, and it will be, you know, a joy to watch for those that are able to get in with either media passes or even if somebody is able to get a live stream of those games as well. Moving on to our last news.
Can I add one more thing real quick? That rink up in Lake Placid is beautiful, by the way. So whomever is up there to see it, or for the girls themselves up there, you know, it's not the greatest of situations, but, you know, Lake Placid is a great, great little town. So they should have a good time up there.
Fun fact, I just booked my honeymoon tonight to go to Lake
Placid. Very good.
Yeah, so there we go. So I got to check that out for the very first time myself, which will be awesome. Our last news and notes before we dive into our Western Conference previews. Defenseman Johnny Boychuk, longtime defenseman in the league, has announced his retirement because of a career-ending eye injury. For those of you that might not know, he was most famously a defenseman for as recently as the New York Islanders, but also the Boston Bruins. Tom, what is your reaction to this abrupt retirement?
It's a sad ending for a player. I mean, was he ever a Norris Trophy caliber defenseman? No. But was he a guy who could play on your bottom four pairs? Yes, he could. You know, he played up there in Boston. He played on that 2011 team that won the Stanley Cup. He was there in 13 against the Hawks. He was on that 2014 team, which I still can't figure out how they lost to Montreal. But as a Ranger fan, it kind of did me a favor. Let the Rangers get the finals. But that's, like I said, we'll push that aside for now. But, you know, he was great up there in Boston. And unfortunately, he was kind of a cap casualty at the end. You know, Boston had to get rid of him after 2013, 2014. He went to the Islanders and kind of, I wouldn't say reinvented himself, but sort of rejuvenated himself. You know, that resurgence with the Islanders, he was a big part because he was a veteran on that blue line. You know, he helped a lot of these kids come along. And it's funny, as I'm sitting here looking at his stats and I'm just looking at his career, and a guy whom, I'll give you a little history lesson, a guy who has like a very similar career trajectory to him is a guy named Eddie Westphal, who played for those great Bruins teams in the early 70s with Phil Esposito and Bobby Orr and Johnny Pusick and Wayne Cashman and Kenny Hodge and so on and so forth. And sort of the same thing happened to Eddie Westphal, where he won his Stanley Cups in Boston with those Star Latin teams, and he was just sort of a guy that left unprotected, and he was able to go down to Long Island and help those young Islanders teams of the 80s come along with the guys like Pop Van and Trottier and Bossy, and he was their leader up until 79 when he retired. So it's kind of funny how their careers kind of are very, very similar. It's just a thought that popped in my head while I was looking at his stats just now.
It's a pretty cool convenience. And Johnny Boychuk, as you mentioned before, he was never the defenseman that, you know, your eyes were glued on whenever he was on the ice, but he was a very serviceable defenseman, could easily eat up, you know, 18 to 20 minutes per game if he needed to on a given night, it when called upon. And he was very serviceable for years, won a Stanley Cup with the Boston Bruins in 2011. It's unfortunate that his career has been cut short because of this eye injury. And certainly, you know, we here at IAD Sports do wish him the best retirement and hope that, you know, he can enjoy his retirement despite the fact that this injury was what led to, you know, the end of his career. But, you know, better days are ahead for him and nothing to hang your head on for a career that he had. He won a Stanley Cup, which is just any boyhood dream for anybody. So, you know, congratulations to him on his retirement, and hopefully he'll be feeling better, you know, sometime soon, but we shall see. But that being said, it is time for us to dive into our Western Conference predictions. Now, what teams are we talking about? Nah, psych. I didn't make a PowerPoint for this. That was going to take way too long to highlight every single Western Conference team moves and notes. If you want to see those videos on the highlights of the divisions and the division previews, go back to the past previous weeks and you will find all of our videos there. So please be sure, you know, check out our back catalog of our division previews. But today we're talking Western Conference predictions. So we're going to be predicting the teams that are in the Pacific Division and the Central Division, where those teams are going to finish, and talk about some other maybe interesting little notes around the Western Conference as well. So that being said, the first topic of discussion for our Western Conference prediction is the main prediction itself. Who's going to finish in the top eight of this conference, and who is going to make the playoffs because of this? Tom, I'll start with your prediction first. Who's finishing in the top eight?
Okay, well, I'm going to go like they do it normally with the playoffs here. And before I let me preface this with, this is just assuming that things are going to be how they always are. We don't know. They may switch divisions around. They may do a conferencing. We don't know that yet. So right now, we're just doing it traditionally. So I'm going to go start with the Central. My top three in the Central, number one, Colorado Avalanche. They've they're growing by leaps. They grew by leaps and bounds last year, and I just think they're going to continue that growth. I'm going to go with Dallas finishing in second place, but I think Dallas will get hit with a little bit of a cup hangover early on, but I definitely think they'll play their way out of it. St. Louis in third. St. Louis will have a healthy Vladimir Tarasenko this year. They did lose Petrangelo. They have Krug. Now, Krug, while not a complete replacement, it's still a decent one. Let's move on to the Pacific now. I'm going to go with Vegas finishing in first. I think Vegas is going to, you know, continue on their successes they've had over the last few years. Now, my little spoiler here, second place, Vancouver. I have sang Vancouver's praises, and I'm singing their praises right here with what's going on. Third, I'm going with Edmonton. I think they're finally figuring out how to do things up there. You finally have McDavid in his prime, and it is a little scary that McDavid is only 23 years old, you know. This guy still has a lifetime left in this league. You know, you have Draisaitl as well. You know, Draisaitl really tore it up last year, won the scoring title. You have both of them at basically in their primes now and are going to be in their primes for the foreseeable future. So I think they're finally figuring it out. My wild card picks, let me just scroll this over. I have Calgary as your first wild card. I do think they took a little bit of a step back last year, but I do think that this year they're going to get it together and finish your first wild card. My second wild card here is going to be Nashville. But I'm saying this, but it could change. I'm saying Nashville now, but it really depends on what kind of a season that maybe Winnipeg has too in terms of what happens here. If Winnipeg keeps falling by the wayside like they are, especially with the problems with Patrick Laine, then I am saying Nashville's going to take this. But if, you know, if Laine rediscovers this game and Winnipeg rediscovers what they're doing up there, then it could be them too. Right now, I'm just going with Nashville. Just I think Nashville's a little bit more of a stable team right now.
All fair. And I think those are very fair picks for your top eight. My top eight, I'll go in the traditional route again. And like Tom had mentioned in the beginning of his top eight prediction, this is contingent on no shifting divisions, no almost like bubble cities or anything along those lines. If the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference stay where they are like normal. That's what this is contingent on right now. If it changes, then certainly we'll do an update video somewhere down the line. But my top eight, I'm going to go to traditional route as well. In the Central, I'm going to keep it relatively similar to Tom. I think Colorado is going to finish at the top of the Central Division. I just think they're that good of a team this year. I just think that they are an absolute favorite in the Western Conference right now. Then Dallas, because I think Dallas really didn't lose much going into this upcoming year, and they've only gotten, you know, stronger as they build as a unit. And I feel like another year under Miro Heiskanen is going to do wonders for him as a defenseman and really emerge as that top defenseman on the team and maybe usurp John Klingberg. And then finishing third in the Central, I actually have Winnipeg, because I'm going to be painfully optimistic and say they're going to play on the back of Connor Hellebuyck in net, who won the Vezina Trophy this past year and was just absolutely impressive. And you just look up and down that lineup, and a lineup as talented as that should not, you know, at least be in contention for that third spot. You know, where you have Mark Scheifele, you've got Patrick Laine, Nikolai Ehlers. Now, yes, one or two of those players might not be there come season's end, but we haven't gotten there yet. We're thinking about what this lineup looks like right here, right now, and I'm very optimistic for this Winnipeg team. In the Pacific, at the top of the division, I'm going to go with Vegas, because it's Vegas' time to shine. They absolutely have all the pieces, and they have everything going for them in the top of that division. Second, I thought I was being controversial with this, but apparently this is the popular pick. I'm going Vancouver as well, because I am just that impressed with Vancouver's lineup, which I'll elaborate more in a little bit. Rounding out the top three in that Pacific division, I'm going to go Calgary, because I actually do think Calgary has made an improvement to their lineup. I think they have stronger goaltending going into this year on paper right now with Markstrom. We'll see where that actually is at the beginning of the season. Anything can obviously change, especially with changing sceneries. But I think having Markstrom in net is a stronger fit than platooning Cam Talbot and David Rittich from last year. As well as their forward group has just progressed as well, and their defensive core has gotten deeper all round in general. I can elaborate a little bit more, but I also want to be able to move on to these wild card spots. The wild card one, I chose St. Louis. They're still a strong team. Don't sleep on them despite losing Alex Pietrangelo. They will still be a team that makes the playoffs. And then wild card two, I think Edmonton just squeaks in. I still think they're a little young and developing. They need to prove it this year. And I think they have all the tools to prove it. And I think they will sneak their way into that number eight slot, maybe a little bit higher depending on how everything shakes out, but I still think they sneak into that wild card two spot. Now, moving on. Next, what we're going to be talking about with our predictions is what do we feel is going to be the most exciting team to watch in the Western Conference this season? Maybe they don't finish first, but they're certainly the most exciting team that's going to be making the playoffs. So, Tom, who do you feel is the most exciting team to watch in the Western Conference for this upcoming year?
I'm going to go with the Colorado Avalanche. I didn't get to watch much of them last year just because, you know, the Western teams, when you're living out here in New Jersey, you know, you only get the pleasure of seeing Western teams when they're either playing your local team or maybe you get a late night game on NBC like a Wednesday night doubleheader. But just the way they possess the puck kind of reminds me of Detroit last decade when they had that Suk and Zetterberg. They possess the puck well. They have Nathan MacKinnon, who's arguably, you could make an argument that it's between him and Connor McDavid, who are the best centers in the league right now. You know, you have Mikko Rantanen, you have Landeskog, you know, you have a good defenseman in Cale Makar. The goaltending is meh, but just watching them. I mean, I remember watching them play Buffalo last year before the pandemic, and literally the puck looked like it was on a string when they were possessing it. It looked like it was on a string when one of their players had it. And it looked like it was magnetic when they passed it. I love the way they play the game. They possess the puck. They pass crisp. You know, they can get, especially MacKinnon, they can go into corners and make something out of nothing. I mean, I know it's like you don't ever want to kind of just, you know, just fill in a poll with the same team over and over and over and over and over again. But I just have a hard time seeing anybody else being more exciting than them.
That's fair. And I think Colorado is certainly a team that I think it's the low-hanging fruit, easy choice for exciting team. I'm actually going to, you know, add a different team into that mix, and I think Vancouver is going to be pretty exciting to watch this upcoming year, too. I think they've got some young developing forwards that will be exciting to watch in this upcoming year. Elias Pettersson, namely, being at the forefront of that. I feel like when you add guys like Elias Pettersson, Brock Besser, Bo Horvat, Quinn Hughes as well. These are players with an excitement factor to them. And what makes them more exciting going into this year is having a, you know, generation, not generational. That's not the word I'm looking for. Our current generation, you know, in terms of a legend in goal in Braden Holtby, you know, I feel like he is an upgrade over Markstrom, just purely because of his track record, just purely because, you know, he is a proven goaltender who has won a Stanley Cup and has been a strong goaltender for years and years now. You know, having that, you know, validation in net that you didn't necessarily have for the past couple of years is huge. And people also tend to forget, you know, we look at Braden Holtby. They also still have Thatcher Demko in net too. They might have one of the better goalie tandems in the entire Western Conference. Whereas I feel with Colorado, they still have a little bit of answering to do from this past playoff due to the fact that Philip Grubauer got hurt, and it was glaring when he got hurt. So for that reason and that reason alone, I am saying that Vancouver is going to be a very exciting team to watch this upcoming year. But as I've said in previous weeks, where there are winners, there are losers. But in this case, we're thinking more so, what's the opposite of exciting? Disappointing. So, Tom, I'm wondering, who for you is the most disappointing team going into this season?
I got to go with Arizona here, just with all that's happened to them. They finally, last year, they finally seemed like they were doing things right. Like they were finally a serious team, a team that people looked their heads on, maybe for the first time since the mid-90s in the Kachuk and Roenick years. You know, you had guys, you had OEL, you had Taylor Hall, you had Phil Kessel. They finally were putting a decent team on the ice. And I don't know what happened. You know, Hall bolted. Their GM was getting in trouble for tampering. They lost their draft picks. It's a freaking mess. It's a mess down there. And, you know, it's a disappointment because it just seems like all that work they did to finally get better, it's just thrown out the window. You know, it's like you built a scaffolding to do a construction project and then a 40-mile-an-hour wind knocked it down. You know, that's just what it seems like Arizona. Arizona is back. I don't even think they're back at square one. They're at square negative three at this, you know. It's just they did all that work to build that team back up after all those years of just futility and no one caring. And they finally got a little bit better, and now it's all gone. In the words of one of my favorite bands, Sick of It All, now it's gone.
Yeah, I felt like Arizona was kind of low-hanging fruit on this one for the most disappointing, because I felt like you and I have gone on and on and on about how disappointing Arizona is. And it's true. Arizona is going to be one of the most disappointing teams going into this year. To me, I feel like Chicago is going to be a little bit more disappointing than that. And the only reason why is because of their fall from grace. You know, I felt like this is a team that went from last year being a team where you kind of look at them like, okay, there's still a team that we're going to look for them to make the playoffs, to this year going, all right, I don't see them in my top eight. You know, I just don't. They're a team that I don't see in my top eight. And what's disappointing about that is they have players on that team that should give you reason to believe. You still have Patrick Kane. You still have Jonathan Toews. You still have Duncan Keith. These, all three of these guys are future Hall of Famers. All three of those players are future Hall of Famers in their own right. And it's disappointing that this is a team that is most likely not going to make the playoffs. Despite that, they have more to look forward to in coming years with future drafts coming up to maybe eventually give an aging Jonathan Toews or an aging Patrick Kane another cup before they ride off into the sunset, so long as they don't change scenery. But right now, if you're a Chicago fan, you definitely feel disappointed about what has happened this summer. One of the biggest glaring things with Chicago, though, the goaltending. I don't know if I have any faith in their goaltending leak going into this year, whereas in years past, you at least felt like, all right, we got Corey Crawford. I feel secure about that. Going into this year, not so much. And that's what's disappointing. So now moving on, who finishes last / ends up with the number one overall pick? So this is kind of piggybacking on most disappointing, but really kind of determining, well, who's going to finish last in this conference or even find their way to the number one overall pick. Now, as we saw this past year, much to Tom's pleasure, even though the Rangers didn't necessarily finish in last place, they still ended up with a number one overall pick. So obviously this is subject to change. It's subject to lottery, but this is just predictions on our part. So who finishes last and ends up with the best chance for the number one overall pick in the Western Conference, Tom?
Well, I'm actually piggybacking off of what you said about Chicago. The thing with Chicago has been is that their fall from grace has been going on since 2018. And Chicago's problem was that instead of doing a full-scale rebuild, which they're forced to do now, is that after they won that third cup and after they went out early in 2016, they should have been rebuilding their depth. You know, you had two superstars. You need to rebuild your depth. Now Chicago is tanking for a draft that's not predicted to be so great. So even if they do get that number one pick, it brings in a depth guy. But, I mean, I don't know. Like, you're tanking for a draft that's really not that good anyways. But I'm going to say, yeah, them. And I'm going to say maybe you're going to see one of those guys, one of those Toews or Kane. Toews or Kane, definitely. I don't think anybody would take Duncan Keith right now. Toews or Kane, somebody may take. But I don't think anybody in their right mind would take Duncan. So, I do think it's going to be them. There's just a lot of anger there. You know, a lot of mistrust, a lot of, you know, disappointment amongst their players. And I got to say it to them. And I just don't understand why they're going for a number one pick in a draft that's not so good.
That's fair. I do think there's some potential at the top of the draft, which you can certainly address in a future episode. But I think there's more to that top five than you currently think. But that being said, my personal prediction is very much, you know, second verse, same as the first. You know, if they finished last this, you know, past year, I think it's very possible again. I'm going to go with either Los Angeles or San Jose. I think both teams still have more building to do, and they're still young and either young and underdeveloped in Los Angeles's case, or aging in San Jose's case, where I feel more secure with LA's future right now than I think I do with San Jose's future. I think the future is bright for the Los Angeles Kings. I think they have some exciting pieces that are going to make their presence known in the NHL within the next year or so. The year is just not now. And with San Jose, I'm worried for San Jose. They really have to think about deconstructing a little bit more. I think, I don't know. It's tough to kind of put my finger on, but I think we're going to see a step back from Brent Burns. We're going to see a step back from Erik Karlsson. I just don't see it getting better this upcoming year. So now we're thinking the opposite. Who's going to win the Western Conference and potentially even win the President's Trophy? So, Tom, we'll start with you. Who's going to win the Western Conference this year? Who finishes number one?
I mean, at this point, you should just, you know, I was watching these 90s commercials last week, and I don't know if you remember that toy that everyone played with called the Yak Back. At this point, Maybe I should just put one of them. Maybe I ought to just put one of them on here because I sound like a Yak Back right now. I'm going with Colorado. I think that they're the best team out in the West right now. You know, you have a good lineup, you have good depth, and we have the World Juniors coming up with two top prospects that Colorado has in Bowen Byram and Alex Newhook are going to be playing for Team Canada. Now, if they go out there and tear it up for Canada, I could seriously see Colorado bringing these guys in maybe towards the end of the season to play. Now you basically are enriching your depth with two very good young players. I have a hard time seeing anybody being better than them unless they say McKinnon and Rantanen or McKinnon and Landeskog go down early and, you know, then they're playing without their two best players. But if they're healthy, I have a hard time seeing anybody being better than them right now in this conference. Like I said, things can change, but right now with the status quo the way it is, I got to go with them.
Well, it's certainly a really good choice, and I think Colorado is going to finish near the top of the Western Conference, though I'm going to go out on a limb on this one. I think it's Vegas's year. And the reason why I say it's Vegas's year, and it's funny, this has been like an overarching theme to this Western Conference prediction for me, but what Vegas has more than Colorado is goaltending. And I feel like I have more faith in Vegas's goaltending than I do in Colorado's goaltending. Robin Lehner, one of the best in the league. Marc-Andre Fleury used to be one of the best in the league. But still, if he's your 1B, you are very, very happy. That being said, they even have some players in the woodwork as well down in their minor league farm that they can pull up if they decide, you know what, let's give Marc-Andre Fleury somewhere where he can play. We're going to get some prospects back or some picks back in return. I would still pick Vegas's goaltending over Colorado's right now. And that being said, Vegas is not a team to kind of turn your nose up at either. They have some great scoring. And yeah, I might not have highlighted them as my most exciting team. I might not have. But if I had a category for most consistent, they'd be under there. This is a very consistently good team that produces night after night after night after night. Between Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, Riley Smith, you have a good cast of characters in Vegas. And we haven't even started talking about the addition of Alex Pietrangelo yet. This is a team that I think they are really pushing hard to win the Stanley Cup this year. And I think that starts with winning the Western Conference. Now, before we leave, we do have one last thing that we want to address. And this was kind of a, you know, fun idea. Some bold predictions for any Western Conference teams or players. This can be as many as we'd like. I have a couple. Tom, I don't know what you have in store, but what are some bold predictions that you want to call right here, right now?
Well, I have one obvious one for all of our listeners. If you've been listening to me talk, I've tooted Vancouver's horn all summer, all playoffs. And I do think, now you're talking about Vegas, I do think that this could be a season where you could see Vancouver in first place most of the way and Vegas not figure it out until maybe the last day of the season, then they overtake Vancouver. But I could easily see Vancouver leading that Pacific division most of the way. A lot of people aren't talking about them, and if they keep capitalizing on what they did last year, I do think you'll see them in first place most of the way. Now, I'm going to come out of left field with another one here. Now, from what's being talked about, and we don't know yet, this season more than likely is not going to be an 82-game season. It might be 48 games. It might be 60 games. But if there's one thing that I remember from 2013 when we were in a 48-game season, if you looked in the East that year, you had Toronto and Montreal in the playoffs. Two teams who nobody thought had a chance in hell at making it, didn't make it the previous year. Montreal eventually got their act together the following year, but you know, nobody really thought they were going to do anything. Now, every year, no matter how long the season is, you have that one team that everybody kind of forgot about, and they somehow get their act together and get in. Now, I know you were talking about San Jose before. Now, one thing about San Jose is I'm looking at their depth chart here. They still have Burns. They still have Carlson. They still have Vlasic. You know, you still have Thomas Hertl, Evander Kane. Now, we were talking about Jonathan Toews before. Now, I know Toews has a heavy cap hit. But just say Toews says, I've had enough here in Chicago. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done with this place. I don't care. I don't want to be here. You're screwing me up. Send me somewhere. Now, just say, you know, I know, you know, San Jose's cap situation isn't the greatest, but say they agree to a money. And say you send a guy like Jonathan Toews over to San Jose, and you have him playing in that on that second line center. I can easily see San Jose sneaking in as a wild card or maybe a third-place team there. Maybe winning a series. Maybe scaring a team in the Pacific like a Vancouver or a Vegas and taking them seven games. You know, people do forget that San Jose 2 years ago was in the conference final against St. Louis. I don't know if we've heard the last of them yet. And in a short season, it may benefit a team like that. It may benefit a team that everyone has written off, you know, because as we've seen teams being written off in 82-game seasons, and they come out on fire in October and November and December. And then January comes around, and they come back down to earth, and then, you know, right around April, it's okay. They're going golfing for spring. But I don't know. If San Jose gets a little bit of a fire in them, you never know.
I think that is a good bold take, and I think that is pretty strong. I think it holds some water. Now, I'm going to get into some bold, and I mean bold, predictions here. I decided to have some fun with this one. So, first bold take. The Anaheim Ducks will be in the playoff hunt until the very last day of the regular season on the back of Vezina finalist and Jennings Trophy winner for next season, John Gibson, who will have a fully healthy yet shortened season. I think if he stays healthy, he is the key to Anaheim's success. I think people really, really underestimate John Gibson as a goaltender. He is one of the best in the league when he's healthy. Second, the Minnesota Wild will also hang around the playoff contention for the majority of the season, thanks to leading scorers Kevin Fiala and Calder Trophy finalist Kirill Kaprizov. I'm calling that now that he's going to be one of the Calder finalists. It maybe even wins it. I'm not going that bold just yet. There are other players I want to talk about next week and highlight. Lastly, my last bold prediction. Arizona will launch a full-on fire sale well before the trade deadline. I'm going to say it happens as early as if we say that the trade deadline happens maybe in March, they're going to do it as early as the beginning of February. They're going to dump the likes of Oliver Ekman-Larsson for a decent haul and a rapidly declining Phil Kessel for nothing. They're going to get nothing for him. He's going to end up going to a team that might end up being a playoff contender, but that team is going to find out that they're picking up a guy that doesn't have a lot much to him anymore. And I think this is going to be the first real declining season for Phil Kessel. But what do you guys think? What are your predictions? Comment down below. Make sure you follow us on our website here at i80sports.com. Make sure you also drop us a follow at i80_sportsNHL. Join the conversation on Twitter. We're here every single Monday night. Let me make sure I keep that Twitter on page. That way you can see it for even longer. But make sure you catch us every single Monday night for your NHL content, your weekly NHL content. We're always coming with different activities per week. We're always active on Twitter. Make sure you join the conversation as well on Facebook at the i80 Sports Discussion Group. I'm Brian. He's been Tom. This has been our Western Conference predictions.